All things are themselves, their opposite, nothing, everything, great and yet small. All things are connected and yet divided at once. This may confuse you, but welcome to reality. We're all stuck here. It's deeply unfair and complex to a point of near insanity, but somehow it all holds together. We're stuck in such a brutal game since we need something interesting to do, and boring games aren't interesting. Thus, we're stuck in the most interesting game possible, that being reality. A game which for most of our lives is in fact boring. Are you starting to see the point? Paradox is so intimately woven into reality as to be a natural law in itself. This is what the wise men of all of history have said, most strongly encapsulated in the Oriental tradition. However, one of the principles that underlie the innate paradox of the universe most easily for me is that if you want to know someone or something's character, I can often look to their projections to see who they really are. Those who are psychologically not well developed constantly tell on who they really are and what they truly believe by talking about those who they hate and also the stories they tell about themselves. One of the easiest principles in this regard, which I've mentioned in a few previous videos, is that what the left says about the right is really what the left is. The left says that the right is motivated by hate, uses institutional power to subtly control everything indirectly, that the right is sexist, racist, obsessed with power, and doesn't believe in anything. If you look at what Marxists say about their enemies, it's a pretty good look at what Marxists really are. The more better developed someone is psychologically, the less they project when they look out on the world, since they have developed a better degree of self-awareness. However, when you look at modern civilization, which is clearly very poorly psychologically developed, given the modern West is committing civilizational suicide before our own very eyes, and people aren't having kids, is let's see what they take the most pride in and what they hate about others. What does the modern world care about and what does it accuse its enemies of being? The short answer is human rights. I am going to give you a brutal thesis today, one that I believe many of you will have an issue stomaching, that the underlying nature of modernity is to use the incredible power of industrial civilization for mass dehumanization. The underlying nature of this video is to show that the main thing our civilization does is attempt to strip away the humanity from the population, to turn them into good little cogs that have lost any of their own individuality in life. This is the main purpose of industrial civilization and is a feature, not a bug. A huge aspect of dehumanization in our society is how everything about you is commodified online for anyone to see and use. Not only is this frustrating, it's also very dangerous and can take a big psychological toll. Thankfully, Aura, our sponsor, can help protect you. Aura helps remove your personal information from data brokers and people search sites that can sell your info to identity thieves, scammers, and more. Aura also monitors your personal data, including selling your social security number across billions of data points, like the dark web and public court records, to alert you about your potential identity theft, and every adult on the account gets $1 million in identity theft insurance to help cover eligible losses and fees, with a total of up to $5 million in coverage. Aura will also alert you in minutes when your credit card info has been compromised, like if someone tries to open credit cards and loans in your name. Aura is also a VPN with a great antivirus, a password manager, and a 24/7 US-based support. And I get this all in one app at an affordable price. I'm not leaving myself vulnerable to data breachers and brokers. And if you don't want to either, you can go to aura.com/whatifaltist to try 2 weeks for free. That will be enough time for Aura to find out if any of your personal information is exposed. So click the link and let Aura protect you.
Part 1, Socialization.
Hey, before we get started, I want you folks to know that if you've been watching my videos, you may have been starting to see a certain type of content predominate on this channel for the last 6 months. I see this video as a sort of parallel video to the one I wrote on the Unabomber, and for the time since, I've had a general theme of making videos talking about the social issues with the negatives of modernity and the industrial system. Although you folks may not see it this way, the primary way that I perceive myself is as a form of artist, and thus my work is a side effect of what are the things that are just percolating in my mind and my interests. This has been what's been on my mind lately, mostly as I've seen society collapse before my own eyes, and I want to figure out why and what happened. However, I'm going to make clear that I'm going to change direction soon with the content after this video. My next video is going to be on philosophy, with possibly the most important concept I've ever developed, and after that, the next two videos, as far as I can tell, are going to be about civilizations. So, savor your video attacking industrial civilization when you still get to have a new one. One of the biggest themes of the video I made on the Unabomber is a concept that he developed, which I think is possibly the skeleton key or the most important underlying concept of our society. That being over-socialization. Over-socialization is the idea that the Unabomber developed, that the main issue with industrial civilization is that it requires too many moving parts to cooperate at once. The machine that is industrial civilization prioritizes standardization and uniformity. The problem implicit in this is that the gears in the industrial machine aren't metal, they're people. Industrial civilization requires the mass standardization of the people involved in the society itself. One of the points the historian Niall Ferguson has made is that if you traveled around the world a century ago, you'd find remarkable differences in fashion just as a single example between regions. Cowboy dress in Middle America, the topknots Chinese peasants wore, the loincloths of Africa, or the shawls of Celtic peasants. Today, their descendants are all wearing t-shirts, often of the same brands, with the same logos. I remember one time I was in Phuket in the Indian Ocean in Thailand, about as far away as you could possibly be from my home in the eastern US. And I thought to myself, you know, this looks exactly like Florida. This is the industrial world writ large, that the mass standardization spans the whole world like a steel railroad, subduing any differences or personality. This is why for upper-class Americans, you can see a sort of tourism fatigue in which they've been all over the world only to find that the parts of the world tourists go to, or the industrialized world, all looks awfully the same. This is wonderful for material comfort, and in the very same process has resulted in the creation of a unified, standardized world, which has brought prosperity completely unparalleled in human history. The world's population has gone up over 8 times over since the start of the Industrial Revolution 200 years ago. Meanwhile, those very same people went from almost all completely impoverished peasants, literally living in their own shit, to entire continents being prosperous, and vastly more people dying from obesity around the world than hunger. This, in fact, is most pronounced in the poorest countries in the Third World, where the economic growth since the end of the Cold War in the Second and the Third Worlds has been the most rapid and has saved and helped the most lives by far of any event in human history. However, there is a great problem here, that human nature isn't rational and in fact is so removed from rationality that even the concept of suggesting it is some sort of cosmic joke. There's a line that comes from ancient wisdom, "You'll get what you want, but not how you want it." Through the process of attaining this universal comfort and prosperity, things that so many men in history would have literally done anything to achieve, and with so many different conveniences between the end of real illness, the end of major wars, and the air conditioner or cheap vacations, the industrial world in turn has lost its soul. It lost a reason to live. Nietzsche and Jung portrayed a very similar concept, that modernity is completely split up. Let me use an example of this. Our society is very rigid about sex in some ways and incredibly loose in other ways. It's funny, we're a society in which you assume nearly every teenage boy has seen the most degenerate variety of porn, or where every single thing is sexualized, but even mentioning sex in polite company is taboo. Talking about the philosophy of sex or how it relates to society isn't really a thing. The double standards about race and sex are something we really ignore in our culture, but are so obvious to someone from a different society. The things rappers or e-girls are allowed to get away with versus white males are so enormous. Another example is that we have no integrated theory of the world. There's no shared idea of how the world works or what we should draw meaning from. Instead, we have a sub-variety of different disciplines studied by specific academics with no ability to operate over disciplines. What I found from reading general knowledge books in a variety of different fields was something deeply shocking, that the social consensus on any given field, once you corroborate the evidence, is so vastly different from what the public believes or even what the experts believe. If you add up the evidence from philosophy, history, genetics, physics, psychology, anthropology, and any other field, you'll find the top experts in said field have already disproven the current popular narratives that the mainstream pushes unironically. Read this text wall if you're interested. The reason we're pushing out-of-date narratives in our culture is that no one is actually checking to see if the underlying view of the world is accurate. This is since our culture puts literally zero emphasis on holistic thinking. The reason I think this is happening is that on a subconscious basis, that we know the things that we're doing in our society are deeply morally wrong and self-destructive. Thus, we've made any level of holistic analysis taboo, given we knew that if we studied the patterns of history at all, we'd find we're massively screwing up. Modernity is divided between the autistic masculine and the hysterical feminine, since both are ways of covering up underlying very deep failures through either extreme emotion or tunnel vision. Jung frequently called modernity a mask. Due to over-socialization, we're only capable of showing one angle of our personality to others. This plays into the Unabomber's point in that a great irony is that our society claims to have the most permissive moral code of any society ever, while the reality is that we have the most rigid moral code of any society ever. For example, our society views rage and aggression as universally bad. That's just insane. Even Christ frequently became angry, since it's often a rational outcome at different points of the human condition. If your people are being pushed into slavery and you're being dispossessed of basic human rights by conquerors, then rage is the completely rational outcome, and in fact, not experiencing rage is incorrect. The current moral code views any degree of masculinity, boundaries, or aggression as bad, since it wants to make you look as weak as possible to be easy to exploit. It's partly that in urban populations, where you can't know anyone, you have to be a cog to most people. The reason our society pathologizes any war or aggression is that martial masculine traits are the only thing that can stop us from being cogs. Our entire moral code is just telling us to be a better cog. Read this text wall, but literally every single moral axiom of our current society is why you should surrender your humanity to be a better cog. I was talking to a Gen X friend yesterday, and I was telling him this theory, and what I realized is, wait, this is something where it's been gradually building up over the course of decades or centuries, but it culminates in my demographic getting most screwed over. Because I was thinking about the dispossession of normal human traits, where as a Gen Z male, for my entire life, the entire system has tried to strip my demographic of humanity, where we constantly get insulted for something we never did. We are constantly told that normal human emotions we feel, and this is stuff you guys might not believe, but stuff like sex or aggression or a desire for ethnic pride, for my entire life, the system told me that was morally wrong for me to have. However, that's just being a normal person. And through the process of a lot of wokeness is the underlying desire to strip white men of their basic humanity, which is especially so pronounced for young white men, since I believe in a lot of cases, wokeness is a technique by established whites to shut down competition against young whites while using DEI hires who aren't actually competitive against the established white elites. When you look at wokeness for long enough, you'll find it just hates the human condition. I do dislike the Nazis and the Soviets, but they were innately humanist in that they believed in having children, making money, having growth. But wokeness is just pure nihilism. And I think for a lot of these trends which culminate in wokeness, there is the underlying nihilism and the underlying lack of a belief in a human soul that goes back to all the modernist ideologies. But due to gradually stripping away pre-existing traditions, it's culminated in something worse, that being pure nihilism. Wokeness picks on the greatest men in Western history and try to rip them apart. What they're saying here is that nothing is ever enough. They take the most successful society in human history and tear it apart. It's literally insane to see what wokeness pathologizes. It turns normal heterosexuality into something bad. Having children, loving your own nation, religion, self-confidence, beauty, art, and anything else that makes us human are bad. I grew up with lots of woke people, and I can assure you I'm not making this up. Lots believe that having their own children is morally wrong. This is the cruelest and most self-defeating moral code ever. Wokeness in a lot of our society treats being religious as a form of mental illness. That's so ridiculous. When you look at human history, 99% of humans have been religious, and religion was the dominant part of their identity. To treat being a religious person as someone who's not normal, which our society does, is just completely counterproductive to the entire human condition. You can't study humanity as a species without studying religion, because for almost all humans in history, religion was the most important thing in their lives. The same thing also applies to heterosexuality, which for almost everyone in history was also the most important thing in their lives. When you study the Bible, you find its heroes are deeply flawed. Solomon was basically Andrew Tate. Joshua committed genocide, and Moses tried to avoid God, and he constantly pissed off the Jews and was scared of public speaking. What the Bible was trying to convey here is that since perfection is impossible, that these flawed humans are so good that they're worthy of being extolled. This is what traditional religions were trying to do, to show attainable standards of human conduct that were done by actual humans. For wokeness, nothing is enough, however. The reason for this extreme cruelty is that the biggest thing modernity is built around is the bureaucratic system. Bureaucracies can't think. They operate under their own logic, whose ultimate goal is to extract for the system itself. Much like an AI in a sci-fi story which vacuums the oceans to prevent drowning deaths, modernist bureaucracies start out with reasonable goals like ending inequality or helping black people, and then they guide it to civilizational suicide. With modernity, we gave all the power to the bureaucracies, and thus, in a lot of the world, there were literally no countervening forces to the extractive power of the bureaucracy. Watch my video on the bureaucracy if you're interested in this topic. What that means is that the bureaucracy just drains the traditional organic society, replacing it with dead, controlled matter, and then nothing replaces that. For those who have dealt with bureaucracies, you've seen this. Since they can only operate at a scale of measured things, it means that they will make staggering strategic errors which will kill them, and yet, since no one's held responsible for them, they just keep killing themselves and everything else, given they operate under their own logic. They have their own internal mental systems that can't be short-circuited or changed. I've seen bureaucracies which have made staggeringly poor decisions, but since there are too many moving parts, they just can't change direction at all. They refuse to see that which they can't understand. A horrible thing is that in the process of this, in that our society is a bureaucracy, they in turn change the minds of the men in those societies to be like bureaucracies. Since the industrial machine can only operate under the standardized rules it forms, it ignores that which it can't measure. But no matter what, you can't just get rid of the non-measured things in life since they're still real. Look back over history and you'll see community, tradition, art, culture, family, and religion have literally been the most important factors in people's lives, but industrial civilization is completely incapable of seeing their importance. In fact, what the system sees is that the culture it was formed to serve is in fact its enemy, given it slows down its growth. Thus, the bureaucracy declares war on literally everything it can't understand. It declares war on life itself. This is why managerial totalitarianism has killed more than literally everything else in human history combined. It's also why wokeness is literally against people mating and having gender roles, given forcing women into the workforce in the short term increases GDP at the expense of complete birth rate collapse, which will later kill the society. The system pushes onwards with no thought at all about anything but itself. It imports millions of immigrants to keep wages low at the expense of the entire society. It destroys human nature, since that's a stop on the system. It's so horrifying to see even the most basic elements of our own humanity be pushed against, since it can't compete with the machines. Our most basic emotional, cultural, sexual, social needs are thrown away, since a robot can do a task more cheaply. The system is incapable of thinking, and so it just doesn't. The ruling class are just those who are here to rationalize the system's constant growth at the expense of everything else. Part 2, No Mythology. We see that the lack of a clear sense of soul is a very, very key issue across the industrial world. What I largely do in a lot of cases is that I listen to people and repeat back to them what they've said to me. People will say, Rudyard, how do you know blank? The short answer is that even in a lot of cases, if people don't realize it, people will constantly say who they are and what they care about in a million different ways that are pretty easy to spot if you know where to look. Goethe had an interesting theory which was quite instrumental for a generation of German manic figures between Jung, Spengler, Freud, and Nietzsche, which I'm going to call artistic empiricism. The idea behind artistic empiricism is that you can look to someone's aesthetic tastes and the stories which they use to symbolize their lives as a way to look into their minds. The easiest example of this is that we judge people by how they dress, their mannerisms, and the music they listen to. On the broader level, you can judge an entire civilization by the art it uses, and Freud or Jung built an entire theory of human psychology based off dream structure. The wisest and most sentient thinkers of industrial civilization keep circling back to one point. Any given industrial thinker beyond a certain level of caliber, including Nietzsche, Marx, the postmodernists, the existentialists, Jordan Peterson, and anyone else you could throw a dart at, will say that the greatest issue of the industrial world is loneliness and nihilism. This would be unimaginable to most societies in history, in which meaning seemed to seep out of the very environment, in which religion, tradition, family, ethnicity, myth, and glory gave you meaning no matter what you could do. Modernity is very cruel to the sentient or the self-aware, who are physically incapable of losing themselves in the material luxuries and hedonism that the industrial world provides. I like to say that modernity is an alliance of envious nihilistic witches who tear civilization down out of resentment, and autistic materialists who can't understand what an abstract concept is. Modernity is physically incapable of understanding the concept of an abstract concept. This is why things like sexual differences between men and women are so obvious, but our society doesn't believe they exist and believes in trans. If we can't understand the very clear difference between men and women, of course we won't be able to understand history, religion, philosophy, art, and culture. All of these are things we've already flushed down the drain. Modernity uses material comfort as a way to cover for its failings, which I think is fair enough up until a certain point, given the scale of said material prosperity. Humans are crazy and stupid monkeys, and when things get too good, we get crazy and stupid. However, modernity has involved throwing away literally everything we would use to mentally orient ourselves. We've lost any connection to history, our environment, nature, religion, the spiritual, family, tradition, art, culture, and anything. This is why modern philosophy feels so useless and abstract, since it is literally connected to nothing in reality. None of our actions mean anything, and thus our actions are entirely purposeless. I have lots of friends who think that Trump will fix all of the issues in modern America, and I look at the things I just said, and I think to myself, guys, you know a business mogul isn't going to fix the destruction of every stabilizer that a normal society should have. And this is centuries in the making, and this is going to be an avalanche, and no one man can fix this. This is the Faustian bargain of our society. We have complete free will in things that don't matter. No one today really believes in God, so you can choose what religion you want to be. You can choose what your politics are within an appropriate Overton window controlled by the Uniparty in most of the West. You can eat at the grocery store, which is just processed ingredients. However, everything that our ancestors drew meaning from is off limits for us. It's so sad to realize how lost most people are in the industrial world today. I find we're a society that has literally no place for extreme emotions. We're supposed to exist in a constant state of emotional monotone. Even at places like crazy parties, weddings, or after a horrible life event, I never find people express a real emotion. I find this is especially bad for people my age. Our ancestors waged wars, made kingdoms, had religious experiences, invented culture, got drunk on weeknights, and threw festivals. It's so horrible to see now in that none of the young people I know are getting married, having children, or even dating. This just can't be life. I've been stuck thinking recently about what do normies even do? This is since I've been trying to figure out what occupies a normie's day, since I don't talk to that many normies anymore. Normies don't seem to read books, have that many hobbies, have kids, have strong social relationships, date, make art, or do anything that people normally do. I find this is even more exacerbated among upper class people, where you could say the peasantries in most eras were boring, but to say that our nobility does nothing is terrifying. I guess the answer is scroll through social media and go to work. However, the vast majority of Americans statistically hate their job, and I find almost nothing worth watching on streaming platforms or from social media anymore. I have no idea what you guys even watch. One of the things I find really horrifying in my conversations that I've started to notice more and more is that when I talk to people, I test if we're actually having a conversation. I try to modulate the words and tonalities for what I'm saying, and then pair that with a person's response. I'll also throw in random interjections to see if I can scramble them. The scary thing is that I find most people, seem to permanently be on autopilot. They have a pre-established mental framework of answers, and nothing you can say can dislodge them. When I look into people's eyes, something is off. Especially for celebrities, there's a sparkle that's just gone. I can feel that people are losing their souls before my own very eyes, and it's horrifying. Can someone please explain to me why I'm wrong? I'd really like to be wrong here. I think a lot of this can be explained by Mouse Utopia, which is one of my favorite paradigms, where if you watch this show regularly, you'll have heard me talk a lot about this already. Mouse Utopia was an experiment in the 60s and 70s where they gave mice perfect conditions for population growth. What happened afterwards is chilling. The mouse population skyrocketed to one-third of the cage's carrying capacity, and as the mice became crowded, their entire society collapsed. Male mice became effeminate, female mice became masculine and aggressive, mistreating their own young. The mice stopped being able to form any kind of social relationships as their society completely broke down. The mice became divided into a sub-variety of different groups between nihilist, sociopath mice who would murder the others, antisocial autists, homeless mice who would let themselves get attacked without fighting back, and young female mice who refused to mate. In every single one of the 30 experiments, the mouse birth rate collapsed to zero and the colony completely failed. The thing I'm describing here is a soul death, in that it doesn't seem like people are alive or are responsive to their environments anymore, and that's a very clear part of the Mouse Utopia experiment. It occurred in each iteration the experiment had, and was called the first death, or a spiritual death. The mice lost their ability to interact with the environment at all, or an ability to enjoy life. The terrifying thing about Mouse Utopia is it explains every single part of the current issues we face. It's basically a 100% fit for everything going on in our society. Firstly, it stems from rapid population increase due to an end of scarcity, which then causes overcrowding. On top of this, every single thing in Mouse Utopia has already happened in our society. Our birth rate is careening towards zero. To put this into perspective, the birth rate is crashing faster than any computer models could predict. At this rate, the world will have at least half of its current population at the end of this century, and potentially far, far less. To revert back to an earlier topic, certain civilizations use mythic stories as a way to convey the underlying nature of said society. Mythology is a society's switchboard which programs how the people in that society relate to the outside world. Mythology and the stories through which it operates is a culture's operating system, which is why religion has been seen as the most important thing for most of human history. The modern world has a very clear mythic structure which you can see in stories between Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, The Matrix, Princess Mononoke, Terminator, Fight Club, 2001 A Space Odyssey, or Harry Potter. The industrial story goes something like this. There's a plucky group of heroes who form organically through the story, and they fight against this depersonalizing, satanic force which is trying to destroy their souls by subliminating it into the unconscious. This is the only major meta-narrative industrial civilization has, which I am aware of. I was really fascinated by what this depersonalizing, soul-crushing force is. My video on modern civilization, which I believe to be one of my best I've made, is an attempt to explain what the origin, logic, and nature of these anti-civilization forces. Modernity is a force which emerged in a sort of weird way, in that unlike any other civilization which formed in a unique place with a unique history, mythology, and culture, modernity developed first in Western Europe and then was immediately exported across the world. Modernity has a very consistent set of values, architecture, mythology, amongst others. Ironically, as explained in this text wall, most of these assumptions were never tested and are grossly incorrect. Modernity is pretty uniform and is an anti-civilization, also built largely off the rejection of older civilizations. Modernity, much like the technologies of the industrial oil-based world of its time, is based off burning the fossilized life force of previous living eras to power it. A great issue with modernity is that the way it progresses is like a pyramid, where the higher you get towards the top, the more constricted you are. Modernity does something very cruel in that as you go through progress and approach supposed perfection, you lose the ability to fail or experiment. The problem with progress is that it allows none of the messiness of real human life. Modernity is addicted to something I call forward time debt. What that means is that our conception of time is that we owe the future something due to progress. This gets even worse when you put modernist societies under pressure, which you could see today or in the tyrannies of the 20th century. Modern societies under pressure start to ramp up the speed of their efforts right at a time when they need to slow down in order to reach the utopian progress faster. This is why modernist regimes will make staggering errors due to never having natural timing or the ability to relate to their environments organically. We are constantly addicted to the future in our society. We keep thinking we will be happy in the future, that things will make sense in the future, and that we'll know what we want. Mortals are always stupid monkeys who never know what they actually want. I remember growing up seeing everyone rushing around the city and in traffic. I remember thinking, even as a child, do they even know where they're really going and what they want or what they're going to do when they're done driving? Do they have any idea what they're actually doing? I saw people constantly rush around to get off the train and to drive and cutting each other off, and I'm thinking, are they going anywhere of any value? We fill our schedules up since we only feel happy when we're busy. We constantly fill our lives with meaningless bullshit, with work projects, with podcasts, with just things to suck up our time like TV, since if we have even a second of free time, we would realize the raw nihilistic emptiness of our lives. We would realize that we truly have nothing to live for. For many of us, we have no one who truly loves us and nothing to die for, that we have no idea what we're doing. I can't stand the constant noise and chatter of our society. I find it maddening. Does anyone else? So much noise and nothing worth listening to. We're never enough since we're addicted to the future. No matter what we accomplish, we must always do more, always going faster, earning more and getting bigger. We are a train that's trying to speed up at the exact same time that we run out of coal. The coal is the demographic power of aging, which we always took for granted through having a young population. The industrial train is out to grind to a halt. This will produce a reaction much like opiate withdrawal, since the one thing the industrial world has no framework for is abject stagnation and decline. Everything our ancestors used to face that is stuff we've thrown away. Part 3, the wheel. Part of the theme of this video is using prime symbols as a way to explain what's going wrong in our society. One of the themes which I keep on stumbling on is the wheel. I imagine modernity as a great wheel. We are all attached to the wheel. The purpose of the wheel is to make it spin as fast as possible, while at the same time, we are all attached to the wheel, to which there is no direction. As the wheel moves faster, we are forced to push the wheel faster or to work faster, while as the wheel moves faster, it also crushes those beneath it. The great cosmic joke is that no one is really at the center of the wheel. There is no leadership, only the inchoate force pushing it onwards. There are a couple points I would like to unpack here. The first is that we're aiming towards speeding up the system, which is progress, and yet we have no concept for what we actually want or what that actually means. The great aim of modernity is to streamline, which in turn means removing the human character of the society itself. The system has to move faster for its own benefit, with no real direction. The system itself cannot slow down, which is implicit to the structure of impersonal systems. This has happened for all of history, and I won't really blame capitalism here, and that you can use the power of extractive systems that cause low trust equilibriums in any given society. Normally, when things get scarce, which means that the players are operating out of desperation. In our era of history, every major player, from the world's governments to individuals, are forced into desperation, which means the system is trying to squeeze humanity out of its members. This is exactly how, when you look back over history to find that the systems we currently have used to create universal prosperity until very recently are now exploiting the average person. I also can't overemphasize that no one really is in charge of the system. I've met a lot of America's elites, and they have no idea what's happening either. A great irony of the managerial system, or modern feudalism, which creates an enormous leadership class, but I've consistently found zero leadership except for a few great men like Trump, who themselves belong to a different age, who don't understand the problems about to kill our society. The left likes to imagine this wheel of extraction belongs to benefit white men, but I can tell you that that's clearly not true, for reasons I explain in this text wall. A great issue is that no one can truly notice they're on the wheel, and since they were born attached to the wheel, they have no other alternatives. I guess the wheel is my equivalent to Plato's cave, but for economics and social structure. The only thing people know is the wheel, but as everyone pushes the wheel faster, you're only pushing the wheel, which pushes us to all of our collective dooms as the system spirals out of control. As I always like to say, as I've taken from Ender's Game, that if you're playing a game where you can't win, much as I've said that the modern economy is rigged against Zoomers, either play a different game or break the game. I realized as a teenager that I would never succeed in the normal system, so I decided to be a YouTuber and I succeeded. One of the best things I can say is that the way to escape mouse utopia is to leave the cage. I find pushing the wheel or trying to operate in pre-established social norms without the ability to think creatively comparatively, is most predominantly an issue for Asian peoples who venerate tradition above all else. For white people, their greatest advantage has come from the ability to discover new things, which they can use to increase the pie for everyone, thus causing Europe's global dominance for all of history. Speaking of Asia, the issue with the wheel is that social traditions allow depersonalization through identifying others with their social role, not their real personality. In most societies in the world, especially so in Asia, individuality is seen as awkward and immature, and that your duty is to perform the archetype of your social role as well as possible, for example, by being the best father, professor, boss, or employee possible. Part 4. No one is a person. To jump off the last principle, the thing the Industrial Revolution does is that it establishes no method to actually assess people for who they are as a person. For example, My Dad is a board game made in 1903 about how to become wealthy. It's like the game of life in which there's a track that you follow. It starts with you being a mail boy, and then as the years go by, the guys at the company see your innate talent until you're promoted into being a CEO. A century ago, which to be clear was still an industrialized society, but one which had more memories of the agrarian age, in the world of a century ago, which to be clear was still an industrialized society, but one which had memories of the agrarian age, this was just seen as a normal part of life. However, today, that would be completely unimaginable, largely due to college. One of the things no one noticed is that we currently have the lowest social mobility due to college being the selection method for the ruling class. College, although the intention was ironically the opposite, has had the effect of entrenching social classes due to the upper classes being able to game the system. 60% of the students at the top 20 colleges in America are from the top 1% of families. Promotions don't occur for organic reasons due to the need to pick someone from a good college. A big reason for this is that in the industrial world, due to operating at large enough scales, it's become impossible to assess people for their actual characters. There are two easy downstream examples of this. The first is that college is used as a proxy for social class and for skill, which has largely broken down recently since the colleges have become ideological propaganda. The second is that a lot of woke stuff at quotas stems from this, in which due to the depersonalization of hiring, we can conceive of the idea of just choosing people of different racial backgrounds since we see people as demographics, not as people. This is a very, very important point, possibly the most important point of this entire video, in that for almost all of human history, one of the most important things in someone's life was relationships. However, for modernity, we've seen a shattering of relationships unlike anything else I'm aware of in history. Modern man exists in a state of atomization unlike anything else in history. This means a real breakdown in the quality of life for the average person, given studies keep finding that strong relationships are the most important variable for happiness. What I find here is that the actual human character of society has deteriorated, given every kind of relationship has collapsed to the worst rate in human history. This means we have the lowest marriage rates in history, the least friends, the most family breakdowns, the lowest birth rates, and the least deep social connections. This has profound effects on literally every element of human life, given how important this variable is. This has serious downstream sociological effects, one of which is the breakdown of social trust, which is formulated under these organic social connections. This involves the collapse of social traditions, religion, and shared group projects like national pride, art, or any other variety of culture. All of these form downstream from social connection. Our ancestors viewed these sorts of things as more important than we do, and so lots of people think that if people from the past came to live today, they would see us as a utopia. However, given how much they valued religion and community, I think they'd see us as satanically possessed. This means that behind modernity is a deep resentment, one which cuts into everything but which is killing us, that being alienation and isolation. I think there are multiple tiers to this, but the deepest is loss of meaning. Meaning stems from connection to the deepest parts of us. Lots of us have friends, but few have the ability to connect on the most profound level, which is religion, which is the most dead thing of anything in our current society. If you were to operate under this level of analysis, you would find that modernity would suffer deep neuroses about isolation, lack of visibility, and lack of meaning. Now, let's look at wokeness. Wokeness makes complete sense under this lens. When you look at wokeness, you see an ideology driven by society's most emotional issues, which is obsessed with emotional visibility, human rights, free will, and caring about the downtrodden. The wokies are emotionally right, and they speak to the cogs of industrial civilization, but at the same time, they're deeply wrong in that every single thing they say gives the machine more power. Funny how that works. It's nearly as if it's done by design. Part 5. envy. All of this leads back onto itself, in which a great irony is that this depersonalization stems back into an ideology which claims to end said depersonalization, and yet in reality is trying with all its force to push it even further. I believe that given people are so resentful of the depersonalization implicit in modernity, that in turn they're trying to push it even further. I think this secondhand resentment in some ways becomes a bigger motivator than the underlying incentives themselves. The Unabomber said that leftism stems from resentment due to over-socialization, and I believe that he was completely correct, in that being forced to live as an ant in a huge concrete anthill, often with zero actual autonomy over their personal lives, causes people to snap. Leftism in all reality is a power fantasy about what if man was a god capable of controlling reality itself. It fantasizes about being dictator with total power. Don't believe me? Read this text wall for more info. We didn't evolve for these conditions. Furthermore, the mask of modernity allows no space for ugly emotions. Our society has literally no outlet for them, in that modernity always forces you to have a positive outlook. This is one of the things I do hate a lot, in that I actually do value authenticity a lot as a person, and modernity will frequently tell white men, we're here to completely screw you over and dispossess you of everything in life, and then they'll tell you to smile as they constantly fuck you over. Modernity pretends to be for authenticity, but the reality is the exact opposite, that modernity has no place for passion or real emotion. I find the managerial class types I meet never show a true human emotion or any sign that they're actually an animal ever in their lives. It's gotten really bad with Zoomers on the managerial tract who I've met don't drink, have hobbies, date, have interests or passions. I never see their emotions fluctuate. It's horrifying. The left is very clever at setting psychological traps. In some ways, I don't blame our society for falling for a suicidal nihilistic death cult. The left made a very cunning psychological trap where, in order to vent hatred of the over-socialization of modernity, they in turn tried to push the force of bureaucracy and government further, which pushes the hate further until the cycle keeps going. This is why the left enables degenerate artists, such as punk rockers and rappers, to make their culture, since every time the degenerate pushes for something, the state gets more power since it involves lessening responsibility. This is why the elite loves the left, although the left still pretends to be the downtrodden rebels who fight against the elite. One of the most important books I've ever read in my life is Envy by Helmut Schuck. It's a study of envy across human societies, and finds in far too many cases, especially in the modern world, when people are taxing or going after the rich, it's often at a point where literally no one benefits from it, and it makes everyone worse off, and they themselves lose. However, they continue to try to hurt the rich. Europe taxing the rich after the world wars and regulating their economies turned them from the global hegemon for the previous 500 years in literally every field to one of the most rapid declines ever in human history. Nietzsche had a concept called ressentiment, which is interned loathing of excellence coming from the weak. He predicted in the 19th century that after a century of nihilism, until the point of around the start of the 21st century, that ressentiment would grow so great that we would live in a society which he called the last men. The last men would favor mediocrity, weakness, and comfort. It would be a society so sterile and neutered to have both shut down greatness and also even the development of healthy human life itself. I would imagine that the society of the last men wouldn't be able to even procreate due to not enacting the innate sexual polarity, which makes the sexes even like each other, and would be so consumed by nihilism as to be unable to fight for its own survival. It would in fact hate those who wanted to survive. I wish he was wrong, but he wasn't. One of the most important anthropology books of my life is the book The Lonely Crowd by David Reisman. That book was written around the time of World War II, but is one of the best books ever written on modern Western culture I've ever read. He said that due to the rise of urbanization and large bureaucratic corporate structures, that Western culture had made a shift from internally driven, which I have called guilt-oriented Christian morality, to externally driven, what I call anxiety-based morality. This would create a society incapable of producing greatness, drive, or any sense of social order. Ennui, nihilism, anxiety, anxiety and indecision would become horrors in themselves in an anxiety-driven society. The book is called The Lonely Crowd, since his metaphor for modern America is that everyone is in the crowd since they all want approval, but the crowd is lonely since no one's being authentic. I find that, especially in coastal elite circles in America, that this is so horrifyingly true. At the time of World War II, he predicted transgenderism, political correctness, a culture war between rural and urban America, corporate culture, the death of art and taste, among other stuff. It's clear that he was right. When bad things happen to you or you make mistakes, as we all do, you can either choose to learn from the mistake or you can choose to double down on it. Our society doubled down. Due to certain incentive structures and historic circumstances, the industrial civilization made us lose our soul. However, rather than learning our lesson, instead we chose to try to tear out the memory that we ever had a soul. What all of modern civilization is trying to do is to destroy the human desire to have any connection to either our animal nature or the divine. Those are the two things that can save us. I have two prescriptions that I'm going to end with. The first being is that the answer to our question doesn't lie in comfort. We think in our society that all issues can be solved with a pill, with a new technology, or with spending more time on the couch. Moderns seem to think that a system can solve anything, that any problem can be solved by cleverness and action, that if the system wasn't able to save you, that it's your fault. I remember when I told adults growing up that I wanted to go on adventures and study the world rather than going on a boring corporate college route, and most of them just didn't even know how to mentally process it or why I would even want that. Things are about to get really ugly. I've explained why I believe that in about a dozen videos. The only way we can survive is if we embrace the struggle. The world gets really ugly and there won't be a solution for a while. Suffering is part of the human condition and systems can't get you out of it. Sometimes life is just horrible and you have to suffer for a while until things get better. Don't beat yourself up too much about it. The system won't be able to save you going forward and get used to that. The system is gradually failing all of us at everything. Secondly, is that our society has siphoned itself off from the rest of the human condition. One of the things that I frequently say is that Hollywood keeps on making Terminator 13 and Toy Story King Kong number 34 when there's the entirety of the human experience to draw stories from. You could be making movies about history, religion, mythology, classical literature, or from around the world today. There are too many incredible stories out in the collective human experience that no one has touched. This is an important symbol since it shows we're completely cut off from the rest of the human condition. We wonder where meaning is, and the short answer is everywhere except here. We've established a purposeful ghetto of meaninglessness, and if we can reconnect with the rest of the human condition, we will find a reason to live. The way to do this is to realize nothing about the world we live in is reasonable, and life itself is a biological process. We separate ourselves in the physical excitement of life due to our addiction to safety and control. We live in a world as incredible as any fantasy or sci-fi story. We just have to accept it. Accept that we're a bunch of crazy monkeys who don't know what we're doing, and that life is pretty dope, all things considered.